Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
You really think I'm too verbose?
I don't.
Okay, good. Because it's hard to do this job without...
It is.
A bit of verbosity.
Is that a word?
Verbosity? I don't think so. I just made it up.
You're a little
That's what verbose,
verbose
people do. They make up words. So they can say more words.
Patty Fan says, mid-market teams that are good? Not many. Mid-market teams on the West Coast? Us in Seattle, but we're better. We're going to get them unless Ben talks too much. Well, there's a reason they're not having you up in the meeting to close him.
I feel like, you always say, I don't want to jinx things.
Yeah.
I'm less superstitious than you are. I feel almost that way about Roki Sasaki. It's
yeah, me too.
It's in many ways the most important free agent
ever.
In a certain sense.
The timing and everything.
This is a unicorn that's not going to come around again.
Correct.
A guy who's already considered one of the best players on the planet that is not going to cost you
anything.
Really anything, and you get 6 years of control. I mean, it's a ridiculously franchise-changing proposition.
Correct.
For whatever team lands him, whichever team gets him. And the Padres have a legitimate shot at it. It's almost not fair. If I was a fan of another team and he went to the Padres, I'd be angry. I'd be resentful. If he goes to the Dodgers, I'm going to be...
I'll live it. It's going to be the toughest of the pills to swallow. I'll say the deferrals was pretty tough to swallow. You know, knowing you're only paying the greatest player in the world a couple million bucks a year. It's pretty tough to swallow. He wins an MVP in a World Series in his first year. That's a tough pill to swallow. This one would be a dagger.
I can handle Blake Snell. Taking the money and going to the Dodgers. I do understand that if they don't get this guy. I'm not going to be mad at the Padres. I know they're going to do everything they can. Get their ducks in a row. But if he doesn't, I'm going to be really disappointed. And if he does, and when we get near January 15th, and, you know, I'm going to turn on the alerts for Jeff Passan and JP Morosi and all of them, just because I am going to be waiting. And if it happens during our show, I'm going to lose my ever-loving mind.
Caitlin says, if he goes to the Dodgers...
Fantasy camp that week.
Oh, we do.
Oh, wow.
Caitlin says, if he goes to the Dodgers, I might as well crawl in a hole and die.
Wow.
We'll do a big, giant hole for tier ones, and we can all just crawl. We'll dig it somewhere, and we could just crawl inside of it and all sit in there together. Because that would be tough. It would be tough. But, yeah, if that's the week it happens, we will be out at Fantasy Camp, and you'll get our live.
Maybe he'll be there checking out the facilities.
Could be. You never know. You never know. Maybe he won't be. Maybe he'll be down the street.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
If they brought him by during Fantasy Camp, I mean, the lengths they would go to hide him from us.
You have no idea. From all those clowns out there. How do you throw your splitter? What is that? How do you hold your changeup? He's like, get me out of here, dude. What did I walk into?
Hey, can you sign my sweatshirt?
Yeah. Oh, he's just worn out. He wants to get a dip in the cold tub, but there's 60 fat fantasy campers drinking Miller Lite in it.
Let's make sure that visit happens before fantasy camp.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Get it done before then. I'm begging you. Because that's the last place you want.
He needs to get some work done in the training room, and Woods is laying across three of the tables getting a massage.
I got the thing hooked up to my back. I got the stem all over me.
Excuse me.
Ricky's rubbing my calves. Like, oh, do you need some work? I'll never forget, we went one year, and Strom was there. And we ran into Maddie, and we were talking to him, and he's like, what in the F is going on? I'm like, it's fantasy camp, bro. It's like the first year back.
Yeah.
He goes, all right, I gotta get the hell out of here, bro. Like, he came to get some extra work. He's like, I'm not going to get my ass whipped in here
he
by these guys.
Walked out.
Right out to his truck.
I mean, it doesn't even really matter what your line of work is. If we came in and there are a bunch of people, you know, on our microphones and, you know, in our production studio doing fantasy radio for a week. And
we're like,
oh, what are we going to do here?
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to be tough. I don't care what job you're at. If you've got a bunch of, you know, looky-loos who are invading your space, it's not going to be fun for a week.
It would be tough. It would be a tough visit for Roki. But I'm with you, dude, 100%. If you don't get him, it's really going to sting. Would it sting you if he went to Milwaukee?
Not nearly as much. I'd be almost happy for Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd sting a little bit. You know, if he goes to Seattle, you know, fine. You know, it's American League, and he'll be an exciting pitcher to watch in Major League Baseball.
As long as he's not in L.A.
I'm glad he's coming here, but I do not want to have to face him, you know, four or five times a year.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That would just be the extra dagger, just right to the heart. Oh, please don't. Please don't.
You know it's coming, so just grab your ankles. Strap in.
I don't even want to picture it. I really don't.
Yeah, strap in.
I had some big moves yesterday. Before we get to those, if you want to join us for Take on Woods, try to qualify. We don't have any qualifiers yet for the two-night getaway to the Westgate, plus the March College Basketball Extravaganza package. That's up for grabs the next couple of weeks here. 833-288-0973. Call now. Get in line for Take on Woods, our musical trivia contest coming up. Got a call, though. Phone lines are open. 833-288-0973.
Have you ever been to Vegas during March, like the tournaments?
No.
I've gone to the Mountain West tournament, which is the weekend before.
I've been during Super Bowl, but I don't think I've been during March Madness.
Bro, when I was out there a couple of weeks ago, they had like three different early season tournaments, and it was so much fun to like walk around. I gotta imagine like that first weekend of the tournament is insane.
Yeah, that it's nuts.
You have to like reserve a spot at the
sports book.
You can't just walk in anywhere.
All the TVs on. It's certainly, I mean, the prices generally reflect that popularity as well. So be ready to pay or just win it from us, and then you don't have to worry about it. You get your hotel coverage. You got your tickets to your viewing party covered as well. 833-288-0973. Biggest move yesterday, Woods, obviously. Max Fried going to the New York Yankees. You know, they say consolation prize to not getting Juan Soto, although I don't really see how one has anything to do with the other. Even if they had signed Juan Soto, it's not like the Yankees run out of money. 8 years, $218 million surprised me a little bit.
Me and you both, at the 8 years really, really surprised me. He's going to be 31 years old very soon. And by the time that deal is done, he's going to be 38. And I think the other thing, too, when you look at it, man, he's had some injury concerns. And I did feel... What'd you say? Oh, sorry. I did feel that didn't you feel it was a bit reactionary? Like, oh, God, we got to placate these lunatics. We got to go get Fried and we'll overpay to do it.
They said it
was significantly larger than the Red Sox offered to Max
Fried. There may have been an element of overpay, an overreaction just to you know, placate the fan base. It seems like a very short-term decision. Now, Max Fried's numbers were better than I really thought. The last 5 years,
he's been
one of the five best pitchers in baseball. But I can't help but, and this is recency bias, but you know, the last time we saw Max Fried, Padres were tearing him up. Two innings, eight hits, five earned runs in the playoffs. He's not coming off his best season by any stretch of the imagination, and you've just given him a massive raise and 8 years. And I would be really nervous, honestly, if I was a Yankees fan, knowing that we've just locked up a rotation spot for several years to come with a guy I don't think he's falling apart necessarily, but
you're concerned.
I don't think Max Fried in his 30s is going to be the same as Max Fried in his 20s.
Yeah.
He may be fine, you know.
Good. Who is? Few pitchers are.
But I see more of kind of a middle of the rotation guy who's getting absolutely number one ace money. Biggest contract ever handed out to a left-handed pitcher in baseball history.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it. Really good pitcher. That was surprising to me. And maybe a sign of where the market is right now. A little concerning for teams that need pitching like the Padres, that everybody's just getting way more than I even thought that they might get. That seems to happen most, you know, free agent periods, though. We always underestimate what guys are going to get.
I mean, look at what Carlos Rodon got from the very same team. You know, I mean, just a massive, massive contract. But look, if healthy, when healthy, their rotation, pretty solid, right? Gerrit Cole at the top, Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, Rookie of the Year, Heel, and then Stroman is your five. I mean, you can deal with that. You know, that you win some ball games.
Good rotation. Obviously, big lineup questions now.
Yep.
Without Juan Soto for the New York Yankees. Other pitching moves yesterday, the Rangers bring Nate Eovaldi back into the fold with a 3-year, $75 million deal. Takes another one of those bigger names off the board. Really leaves the Corbin Burns sweepstakes down to a couple of teams kind of desperate now, as he's the remaining big free agent pitcher name that's on the market. So see what kind of numbers that he is going to get.
I think Boston's about to throw the whole farm at him. I mean, they're just going to throw everything they get. They're a fan base in tatters right now. I think they said the last decent free agent signing they had was J.D. Martinez. And other than that, it's been swing and a miss. We're in on him. We're in. We made an offer. You just heard the Fried was significantly larger from the Yankees. Whatever they're doing, it ain't right. Red Sox fans are losing their minds. So Corbin Burns in Boston feels like a good fit, doesn't it? And expect them to throw everything they got at that.
Real quick, back to the Yankees. If you're a Yankees fan and you find out that your team offered Juan Soto $750 million, that was on the table, didn't happen. Now you sign Fried for, what, $218?
Yep.
Like, if you're a Yankees fan, when you see the Soto news, you go,
you got 500 more.
I need three guys at two superstars at $200 and $250 each.
I think a lot of fan bases feel like that. I can promise you that Yankee fans feel that way. It's like, great, you got 500 more to spend.
It's never smart though to overpay a bunch of players just to say you paid players the amount that you were willing to pay one. So
like, go out and get. Well, they've already overpaid Corbin Burns.
In
now.
My mind, they've already overpaid one in Max Fried. How many more guys do you want to overpay this offseason just because you didn't get Juan Soto? That's not smart business to overpay other guys because you didn't get the premium free agent on the market.
Jeff in the chat lives up in the area, and he said he always listens to us in the morning. He said they all just scream at each other first thing out of the chute. But he just said, he just checked in. The Boston Morning Show's complaining about the lack of spending. Yeah, man, that's a real thing. John Henry is beyond loaded. And think about the guys he's let walk away from that organization the last couple of years, getting nothing in return or trading for it, but getting no value, and then not spending also. I guess they're rumored to be in on Bregman as well. This was a weird one yesterday. John Henry wants Alex Bregman. Alex Cora wants Alex Bregman. Craig Breslow, the GM, and the other guy, the other president of baseball ops, doesn't want Alex Bregman. So let's see who wins that duel.
Well, whatever the Red Sox do or don't do, especially when it comes to Corbin Burns, could have a big effect on the Padres offseason with the Dylan Cease rumors. And we'll talk about that coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, let's get to it. We got a contestant. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Take On Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. And it looks like you got Robert on the line today. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. How are you guys?
Good. You see that sunrise out there? Beautiful this morning.
I did. I was on my way to pick up my Amazon packages. Fantastic.
Outstanding. All right, let's see if we can make you a happy holiday winner here and qualify for the two-night stay in Las Vegas at the Westgate in March, plus two tickets to Hoops Central. It's the madness of March, as only the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino can serve it up to you with high-definition screens, luxury seating, table service, access to all the best gaming action. Enjoy Hoops action with all the up-and-coming stars in a smoke-free environment. You can get your own tickets at WestgateResorts.com. Or you can win them right now by beating Woods or tying him in one of these categories. Prog rock, progressive rock bands, a bunch of things, five song titles including the word things, and in the friend zone, five songs that include the word friend somewhere in the title. So prog rock, a bunch of things, or in the friend zone. Robert, what would you like to play?
I will take the friend zone.
In the friend zone, new category again today. All right, again, five song titles that all include the word friend. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, you can pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's the two-second song. Paulie is queuing it up now. You need to give me the song title, including the word friend and the artist to score that point. Robert, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, Paulie, you queued up?
I'm queued
up.
60
seconds on the clock. The category is in the friend zone. Robert, your time begins when Paul plays our music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
She comes again when she's dancing beneath the starry sky. New friends,
girl, pass on the artist. Dionne Warwick, Elton John, Stevie Wonder, and Gladys Knight all got together in 1985 to record which charity single to benefit AIDS research?
That one is... Back now.
Garth Brooks was still a relatively unknown artist when he was given the opportunity to record which country bar sing-along sensation in 1990?
Friends in Low Place.
Correct. In a sweet gesture, Queen bass player John Deacon wrote which 1975 hit for and about his wife?
Pass.
Which song by Randy Newman is playing during the opening credits of Pixar's Toy Story and two of its sequels?
You got a friend in me.
Correct. Go back to our two-second song. Can you get the artist?
Here she comes again when she's dancing beneath the starry sky.
Oh, and time is up. You got the two, Friends in Low Places, and You've Got a Friend in Me.
You got a friend
that was my
me.
Best Friend's Girl by the Cars. Dionne Warwick and Company, that's what friends are for. And You're My Best Friend is Queen, John Deacon. Let's bring in Woods. Hang on the line there, Robert. We'll see if your score holds up. Woods comes in without any knowledge of the category. It's the handicap that we place upon him due to his expertise. 60 seconds on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Robert.
Here she comes again.
Cars, it's My Best Friend's Girl.
Correct. Dionne Warwick, Elton John, Stevie Wonder, and Gladys Knight all got together in 1985 to record which charity single to benefit AIDS research?
We Are the World?
Incorrect. Garth Brooks was still a relatively unknown artist when he was given the opportunity to record which country bar sing-along sensation in 1990?
Friends in Low Places.
Correct. In a sweet gesture, Queen bass player John Deacon wrote which 1975 hit for and about his wife?
You're My Best Friend.
Correct. Which song by Randy Newman is played during the opening credits of
Pixar?
You've
Got a Friend. In Me.
Correct. 4-2, Woodsy, you win. That's what friends are
That's
for.
That's what friends are for.
The other group together.
In good times, in bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends
That's
are
what
for.
That's what friends are for.
Very good. Our own little
Robert, thank you for
barber
playing.
Barbershop.
Duet.
Duet.
Paulie did not join in to make it a trio.
No.
Robert.
I sang Randy Newman.
Oh, yeah. You got a friend in me. Terrible. Terrible.
Oh, we still have no qualifiers
yet. Got a friend in me.
Maybe tomorrow with a little
it's
real
estate. It's our destiny. God. Somebody is like, sign him up.
Get him in the studio.
Friends in low places.
Where the whiskey drowns. It's a jam.
We can sing all of these.
Yeah, all of them. Love them.
All right, so we got Don't Do This is coming up next.
Yes, it is.
There's a troubling trend involving professional athletes going on lately.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And watch your back, guys.
It happened again on Monday night. We'll get to that and more coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Got our friend Chris Rose coming up in the next hour, talking about some Dylan Cease trade rumors coming up. Right now, though, it is DDT time on a Wednesday, and I will start with a troubling trend. The homes of especially big-time NFL stars, apparently very vulnerable while they are playing their games. The latest target, Joe Burrow, whose home in Ohio was broken into, burglarized during the Monday Night Football game when he was playing in Dallas against the Cowboys. Hamilton County Sheriff's Office says no one was injured in the break-in, but the home was ransacked.
How?
Apparently, a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model called 911 during the incident.
Right place, right time?
I guess. I don't know what's going on there, but that was definitely one of the pieces of the reporting. Now, this happened to Patrick Mahomes back in October. Happened to Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Back in October in the NBA, it's happened to Bobby Portis of the Milwaukee Bucks and Mike Conley of the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's all kind of Midwestern. Ohio, Minnesota, Kansas City. I wonder if it's the
same person
or a ring going around knowing. Is it worrisome for us? People know where we are 4 hours in the morning.
No, I mean, no, you got to, if you break into my eyes, you got to deal with my wife and kids. So have a ball.
I've got a dog at home.
Yeah, you got a dog
and a
at
family.
Home. Yeah.
And nothing really that valuable to steal.
You have a Civil War
the
pickle.
Best security system is not having anything valuable to steal.
I'm trying to think of the most valuable thing you would get out of my home, honestly. If my family was
7-year-old television, is that what you want?
Yeah. You have a Civil War pickle.
I have a Civil War pickle.
It's a pickle from the Civil War, which is pretty valuable.
The actual value of it is somewhat in question.
I would love to get that appraised at some point as a bit.
I
want to
go on, Antiques Roadshow or something.
Bro, please, I'm begging you.
Yeah.
Sign up.
How would that even process play out?
I don't even know.
Dying to know. Please do this.
Please do it. It's actually ridiculous. We've been together 7 years and you haven't done it yet.
Great crossover moment.
Aren't you curious?
Aren't you curious?
Is that even a show anymore?
I don't know.
It was on PBS, right?
Let's try to do some digging and find out where we can get that pickle appraised.
Dominic says break into Ben's house to steal Costco jeans.
Yeah, Costco jeans, Costco socks, Costco shirts, Costco food, Costco everything. Yeah, I don't know what you get out of my house. I got some valuable records, but they're worth like $400. So,
presumably guys like Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes.
Diamonds and cash.
Yeah, and you'd have to, like the records, you'd have to really know.
You'd have to know
what you're looking
at. Ooh, this is that rare Guns N' Roses original Appetite release. You know what I mean? Like, so he's not going to get much out of us. But for Joe Burrow.
They knew I was at work. They broke in. They got Dalilah.
Delilah. Hey there, Delilah. I can replace Delilah for you very, very easily. Paul, yeah, you have one.
Same day delivery, actually.
Yeah, same day delivery, as you know.
Yeah, so it is December 11th. We're not even halfway through the month. And it's already been a very expensive month for NBA superstar Anthony Edwards. He was fined again yesterday. $25,000. Let's say Wednesday. He was fined on Monday night. He was fined $25,000. That's now $60,000 in fines for the month for Anthony Edwards, who is never shy with a soundbite.
Bring gas!
Him talking to...
Was that what he was fined for?
No.
No, okay. That was from last year. It was, that was Chuck so good. Or Bring Shaq. Gas. One of them was like, I haven't been to Minnesota in a long time. I need to get out there.
Bring gas!
He's incredible.
It was awesome.
So funny.
So, he was fined for using profanity in an interview after the team's win on Friday night over Golden State. And that's kind of all it said, at least on ESPN and a couple of other websites, the Associated Press. They just put out, he was fined, they won, here's his stats, $25,000 fine. And I go, well, what did he say? I now think the don't do this is on the NBA for fining Anthony Edwards. He was talking to a local reporter, and he said, everyone is guarding at a high level, but Jaden and Rudy are being the anchors we need them to be. I think that's the main thing. Nas and Julius are effing playing defense. I've never seen them play defense before, so that's effing incredible. And he's right here. Put the camera on him. Guarding his ass off. That was the quote that got him fined $25,000. He is building up his teammates. Yeah, he used a couple of F-bombs, but...
I think by the letter of the law, though.
Jorge Alfaro is very nervous right now. Yes. That he's going to get some retroactive
finance.
Does it
matter if it's a sit-down interview, though, that, and we're just getting a print quote? ESPN with Scott Van Pelt
or
something?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a print quote, who cares?
Redact it.
Put the little...
It wasn't on live television?
It said Timberwolves reporter Dane Moore. I don't know if it was on
local television.
Jorge Alfaro did it on live television.
All the time.
Multiple times.
Kike Hernandez just did it.
I don't remember any fines or, you know.
I don't either.
Giant problems. Yeah, the NBA...
He lost his job, though, didn't he, Jorge Alfaro?
He did. I don't think that's why. That was, you know, Bob Melvin says, I'd love to play you this postseason, but your language
is just too salty for a baseball player. Because we don't talk that way in this dugout, ever. That's interesting. I love Anthony Edwards. He's so funny. Now for doo-doo this. God, man.
Yeah, I see the video now. He's sitting at his locker after a game. He wasn't on the court.
Little scrum.
Videos. So there are cameras.
But they don't do those live ever.
Sometimes they do in the NBA. They go live from the locker room.
A curse is a curse, I guess. I mean, I can say it. Be like, you guys are the best effing partners ever. I'm still getting in trouble.
True.
You know? There's so many words I'm not even allowed to say. It's the Adam rules. I got the FCC rules to deal with and the Adam rules.
I don't know, I just thought that was kind of soft.
He should add, like, random words that you're not allowed to say as well.
Fine.
Like chagrin.
Somebody said I say chagrin a lot.
You do say chagrin.
Do I?
Yeah.
I love that word. Much to my chagrin.
I'd say I'd say once a day.
Once a day?
Yeah.
All right. As much as he says tea leaves?
No.
Ooh. Are those the finable words? Tea leaves for me, chagrin for you?
All right, I won't say chagrin.
I'll try to avoid tea leaves.
You did a good job at it yesterday.
I know,
Let's get to doo-doo this here.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Charles Barkley always provides a little levity to situations that I appreciate very much. And Kenny Smith and the crew, Kenny Smith and Charles and Shaq, they were doing their... Inside the NBA yesterday, and Kenny drops the name Jay-Z in the middle of a segment. I don't know if you're following the news right now. Jay-Z's in a lot of hot water based on a recent lawsuit. So he drops the name Jay-Z, and this is what happens.
You think Jay-Z or
probably not a good time right now.
Shaq just gets up and
walks away.
Silly,
go see if you can fix the wall. What is
he walks off the set.
My point was,
you think?
Oh my God! Shaq just goes, that's it for me, and just walks away. I love Barkley. Probably not a good time right now. Just drops it.
You know, there's athlete funny. And, like, comedian funny.
Correct.
We give athletes credit for being, like, amusing. Oh, that guy's kind of funny. Like, Charles is legitimately funny,
He's
though.
Funny.
He's got great timing.
Let's hear it again.
He's terrific.
Listen to the timing.
You think Jay-Z or
probably not a good time right now.
Quick. He's quick.
So quick.
Quick and funny. Jack's pretty funny too. They're funny guys.
So good.
I actually saw an old they all did like an interview with some podcast or something. How those old reels pop up on your feed. And Kenny was talking about how when Charles Barkley first came to the show, way back in the day, he didn't know how anything works in media. And they kind of told him, hey, Ernie's the best. He's a Christian man. He is the best, nicest guy you'll ever meet. But there's a couple of rules. Don't mess with his notes, because he's kind of the Ben of that show. Yeah. He's the bus driver.
Yeah, drives a bus.
And he keeps a sheet of notes in front of him at all times. It's like toss to break, here's the tease, stuff like that. And they told Chuck, do not mess with that piece of paper. He goes, I'm going to rip it up. And they're like, don't do it.
Don't do it.
And he walked over and ripped up the paper right in front of Ernie Johnson. And Ernie goes, cut that S out. Snapped out, and they all died laughing.
Wow.
Like, you actually got Ernie pretty good.
Damn, I love Ernie. I miss Ernie. I want to talk to him so bad.
Don't mess with my notes.
Yeah, I don't invade your space. Well, a little bit.
A little bit. Sometimes.
You rubbed cream all over him yesterday. I rubbed his feet.
I lubed him up yesterday. Pretty good.
Well, that's Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
Much to his chagrin.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It's true. It was much to my...
It was.
I was very chagrined.
Steve wants to know, does Adam have a random Ben and Woods quarter jar for random words throughout the week? No, but it's like once a show, I get like, hey, you can't say that. All right. I don't like to pull the... Technically, I can. Technically, I'm allowed to. There's only 7 that I'm not allowed to say, and I never say those. But what would you say there is? Probably about 14.
Like an additional 7?
An additional 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's still more than 7 dirty words.
I thought it was it. The seven words you can't say.
Technically, the Padres have not made any moves during the winter meetings.
That is true.
Actually, they haven't made any as well. But there is a lot of talk about a potential trade. We'll hear from A.J. Preller and the rumors surrounding Dylan Cease when we come back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Didn't include it in Don't Do This, but some bad luck yesterday for the Miami Marlins, who had the best odds to land the number one pick in the Major League Baseball draft lottery yesterday at the winter meetings. Didn't get it.
7th.
Didn't get the 2nd or 3rd pick either. Damn. I thought they were 4th. Were they 7th?
I thought they were 7th.
I thought you could only go as far down as 4th. 7th. I know.
I thought they were 7th.
The team that beat the odds, the Seattle Mariners, only had a 0.5% chance of moving up, and they
Marlins
did.
Marlins fell to 7th.
Yeah.
Rockies are 4th.
Oh, that's right. The Rockies also dropped down. The Rockies and the Marlins both dropped the most. Marlins went up, or the Mariners went up the most, beat the odds, and got the number 3 pick. Angels are 2nd, but the Pittsburgh Pirates, or the Washington Nationals, will once again pick number 1, their 3rd number 1 overall selection.
The White Sox.
Bryce Harper, Steven Strasburg.
The White Sox, despite losing a modern-day record of 121 games, were not eligible for a lottery pick because the collective bargaining agreement stipulates a team that pays in the revenue-sharing plan cannot hold a lottery pick in consecutive drafts. They chose 5th last year.
Imagine having the worst season
of
ever,
all time.
And you can't even get a lottery pick in the
You're
draft out of it.
18th or something.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hey, Nationals,
at least we're not the White Sox.
Yeah,
right?
At least we're not the White Sox. Not yet.
That's the lowest of bars. Today, the Rule 5 draft will take place. I thought it was tomorrow, but Woodsy told me, no, it's actually today. Kind of the last bit of business, I think, that they do at the winter meetings. But the rumors will continue. And the one of the biggest ones yesterday involved the Padres' own Dylan Cease. We'll talk about that here from A.J. Preller right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So I think we all saw this as a possibility, even going into the offseason. But it was kind of confirmed in reporting yesterday by Kevin Acey and Dennis Lynn that the Padres, trying to stay under the luxury tax level again, are probably going to have to trade someone at this point to have the financial flexibility that they're going to need to make it through the offseason. And one of the candidates, with just 1 year left of control, 1 year left on his contract, is going to be Dylan Cease. And the rumors started flying pretty pretty heavily around the winter meetings yesterday that Dylan Cease was someone that is available, at least for discussion with the San Diego Padres. Not surprising to me at all. It might even be the smartest move the Padres can make this offseason, getting value, future value for Dylan Cease, the way they did for Juan Soto last year with 1 year left on his contract before he leaves for nothing, likely at the end of the 2025 season.
Yep, Morris guy is going to want to get a tremendous bag, deserving of a tremendous bag. You know, not going to deny that. Certainly doesn't feel like it's going to be a long-term situation with Dylan Cease. So you bite the bullet, you do what you have to do, you get back as much as you can. And, you know, again, you ask yourself, all right, what would you want back for a Dylan Cease? Oh, I'd love some young, controllable starting pitching. Well, so would the team that's more than likely trading him to you. So what you're going to have to more than likely do is get back some really good young talent, then flip to someone else with maybe a surplus, right? And so you saw a little bit of this yesterday. We haven't talked about the Jimenez trade for Cleveland. And we'll talk to Chris Rose about that coming up shortly. Big Guardians fan. But, yeah, man, you're going to have to get creative. I would imagine that the guys that you get back for a Dylan Cease, I don't know how many you actually keep. You know, maybe one. But, I mean, you get three or four guys back, right, for a Dylan Cease?
Yeah, I mean, depends on the quality of the prospect. You know, the better level the prospect, the fewer guys you get, or you take a little bit more. I'd hope that for someone of Dylan Cease's pedigree that, you know, you'd be able to get a couple of guys who are going to impact very close to the major leagues or already young major leaguers. And, you know, if it's not pitching, then Padres need to fill an outfield spot.
Yep.
They need a catcher.
Do you wait for Burns, to see where Burns goes, and then you call the team that you heard was rumored to be in on Burns and say, all right, I know it's not Corbin Burns, but hey, man, how about 180 innings of Dylan Cease this year? Granted, it will be a rental, as you know, but he's not going to cost you what Corbin Burns was going to cost you. It's just going to cost you two or three of your best prospects.
Well, I think there's multiple teams that would be very interested in Dylan Cease at a reasonable price, $13 to $14 million.
Yeah, very reasonable rental.
For one season. Yep. Any team that is like, we want to make the playoffs this year, is going to have to consider that strongly and be willing to mortgage some of their future for that opportunity to get Dylan Cease, especially if they don't land Corbin Burns. I mean, you can.
But if it doesn't happen, you also want to make the playoffs this year,
yes,
right? And you can pay him $13.7 million. We think, and go for it this year, and run the risk of him walking away.
You don't give Dylan
Cease away
unless you feel like it's truly going to improve your team, you know, at the very least for the next 3 years, you know, if not directly this year, you know, and maybe that frees up a little bit of money where you can add some other pitching, you know, buy some innings at least, you know, a guy who's going to be able to. That's the hardest thing to replace with Dylan Cease. It's the innings that he is generally, you know, good for. 180, 200, you know, that's what Dylan Cease is going to give you year in and year out.
Well, let me calm you down there, Ben, because based on this article in MLBTradeRumors.com, you know, you lose Dylan Cease, but don't forget, you got Matt Waldron, Randy Vasquez. They're talking about Adrian Morejon as a starter, Brian Hoeing, and Steven Kolek as potential back-end options available internally.
Well, so. AJ actually is the one who talked about that yesterday. That's not a rumor. That's straight from the horse's mouth. We got a couple of cuts here from AJ Preller yesterday, courtesy of our Sammy Levitt, who's going to join us a little bit later this morning at 9:35. But first of all, AJ was asked about the value of Dylan Cease and Michael King and whether there is a trade possibility out there.
You have two pitchers, very talented pitchers, and Michael King and Dylan Cease, who will be free agents at the end of the year. What's your current appetite for at least exploring their trade value in a starting pitching market that is generally pretty robust?
Yeah, I mean, I, in general, we have a team that ended the year. We feel like one of the better teams in the league, and a big part of it was because of of Michael and Dylan, you know, and I think for us getting to where we want to get to, you need, you know, super talented and quality starting pitchers. Those two have, you know, they were tremendous this year in terms of getting us there, and you know, we look forward to them getting better next year and taking another step in their development, helping us get to where we need to get to. So, you know, it's a time of year where you're, you know, our group, we're always open minded. You always, you know, you always listen to, you know, incoming phone calls and see what's out there. But again, it's those guys set a really high bar this year, and we're excited to see what they do next year.
All right, not a lot from AJ Preller there. He's certainly not going to tip his hand and go, yeah, oh, yeah, we're definitely looking to move those guys or one of those guys.
Yeah, he's not John Mozeliak from the Cardinals. It's like, yeah, Nolan Aragon. Is he regrowing the stash? It looks like he shaved it off and he's regrowing the stash. We doing this again? All right.
Look like it is on its way toward another Seidler stash.
Boy, he's right in that awkward period. Maybe you wait till after the winter meetings.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you got a little...
Started over the holidays.
Yeah, start over the holiday, bud. But that crustache is kicking right now.
Meanwhile, you mentioned those guys that could be converted from the bullpen to starters. This is what AJ told Sammy yesterday about that.
At least right now, you have a couple of rotation spots open. Your organization has had a lot of success the last couple of years stretching out relievers into starters, whether it was Seth Lugo, whether it was Michael King. At least right now, what level of exploration or at least a consideration is there in taking maybe somebody who's a reliever, say somebody with starting experience like an Adrian Morejon, and if you have a need, maybe trying something like that out with them?
Yeah, like you mentioned, like with, you know, whether it's Nick Martinez or Lugo or King, guys that we've targeted that, you know, in Lugo and King's standpoint, that we're basically relievers that we feel like, you know, because of their style and their pitch mix or their delivery and their mindset, that they had a chance to be starting pitchers. Again, like we'll talk about it. I just mentioned, I mean, guys like Morejon or Hoeing or Steven Kolick, you know, have been guys that we've had conversations about, and there's a few others. You know, we'll see. I think it's still kind of a TBD thing. It's still more internal, you know, conversation. And over the course of the next couple of weeks, we'll try to give, you know, those pitchers in that group, you know, an idea of, hey, prepare for this, you know, and be ready for this spot. But yeah, finding starting pitching is always a big thing. And, you know, the ability to take some really talented pitchers that have been in a certain role and expand that role or change that role, that's something that's been on the table for, you know, for this offseason.
I think the idea of Adrian Morejon, you know, going back to a starter, which is what their original plan was for him, is really intriguing. You can look at it two ways, Woods. He's finally had some success out of the bullpen. Why would you do anything to mess with that? You had a really solid left-handed reliever in Adrian Morejon. Now you're going to throw this at his plate. You're just tempting fate. You're messing with forces you shouldn't be messing with. At the same time, you know, if he figured something out, he figured something out. And if he can get guys out in the sixth and seventh inning, why can't he get them out in the early innings as well? I mean, he has the potential with his stuff, left-handed, still fairly young. I mean, we feel like Adrian Morejon must have been, you know, his mid-30s. What is Adrian Morejon, 20, 25, 26? I mean, he's not an old guy. There's plenty of time left for him to have a fantastic career, and it might be as a starting pitcher. Don't you owe it to your organization and Adrian Morejon to potentially take another look at that, you know, this offseason into spring training?
Yeah. I mean, look, you're up against it a little bit with what you have to spend. Not a little bit. You're up against it with what you have to spend. You do need to be creative. I tend to fall on the first part of your argument of like, hey, we finally found a role for him and he stayed healthy and was really effective at it. Let's not upset the apple cart, you know, especially losing a Tanner Scott out of your bullpen. What if he fills the Tanner Scott role? Everybody happy that with that? I am. You know, him getting injured again and spending 3 months on the IL doesn't do anybody any good. But, you know, there's just no way to tell. Does he have what it takes to be a starting pitcher in this league? Not so far. But I think it's definitely a conversation worth having. He's got 2 years left of control. I think, you know, try it and see what happens. If it doesn't work, you can always go back to the bullpen if you're healthy. So, I mean, give it a shot. Give it a look. You know, talk to the player and see if the player is down to do it. But, you know, if he ends up being the seventh inning man, I'm not going to be mad at it. He was really effective.
I think the Padres look at their upper minor leagues, and there are some arms up there that, you know, could become relievers. I mean, you know, Sean Reynolds was one that we saw a taste of last year, that the bullpen could be pretty good, that you could use some of those pieces. Hoeing did actually start some for the Marlins. You know, he doesn't have swing and miss stuff, which worries me a little bit. You know, you're facing five innings of guys with a lot of contact off of Brian Hoeing, but he was very effective in the bullpen. So, you know, that is a possibility there. And as for Kolek, I know people are rolling their eyes. There's a reason why A.J. Preller took him and kept him on a roster all year long. He had to
because he got him in the Rule 5.
Well, yeah, but he must think fairly highly of his potential.
Yeah, there's something there he likes.
We haven't seen it yet, but there's something there that he likes, and now he's part of that organization, so he should be in the mix somewhere, you know, going into this year. I don't know if it's a starter.
Honestly, but. Benny, it's all hands on deck right now. I mean, you're pretty bare in the cupboard.
All right, we'll come back. Big 8 o'clock hour, including our friend Chris Rose joining us to talk about yesterday's trades and more next year on 97.3 The Fan.